This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, New Orleans, and what an incredible weekend. The Komen Foundation walk for breast cancer, huge success. LSU wins. The Saints win. I don't know about you, but I jumped up and down out of my recliner so many times I thought I was going to pull a muscle. I'm surprised I have a voice this morning. It was just one of those games. And then when they missed the field goal, I couldn't conjure up any words to say. I just sat there and watched the television screen and couldn't believe it. Had to wait for the replay to make certain that he did, in fact, miss the field goal. And he almost missed several earlier in the game as well. We got a great show. We're going to talk about any number of breaking stories over the weekend in the third hour. In the second hour, we're going to be talking about the continuing difficulties in trying to manage short-term rentals and the implications to so many different neighborhoods, not only here in the city of New Orleans, but in the outlying parishes as well. This seems to be an issue that never goes away. But in this hour, a very interesting conversation, maybe one in which you don't really think about this. Although New Orleans now is one of America's top Halloween destinations, Homeland Security's now warning everybody to be aware of costumes and accessories that may be contaminated. From the counterfeit decorative contact lenses to just the plain old costumes and some of the dangers there. Joining us in the studio is a special agent in charge of Homeland Security Investigations, New Orleans Field Office, Jerry Miles. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
So tell us a little bit about the challenges in dealing with this. And, you know, a lot of people often ask, oh, why are you involved in this? And you guys are involved in this for a very good reason.
Absolutely. The main reason that we get involved in this is the health and safety aspect of it. One of our mandates is that we're supposed to try to protect the public. And a lot of times when you're talking about buying these things like the costumes, mainly we're talking about like the makeup that you paint on your face or the contacts, people think to themselves, well, this is not really a high risk thing. But the reality is some of the makeup that comes in, we find that it's been contaminated with heavy metals, lead. And then you're going to put the makeup on small children. Same thing with the contacts. They don't go through the same type of quality control that you have here in the United States. Therefore, it's very possible that you're going to get some that have already been contaminated and could actually give you eye infections or cause problems with your eyes.
So we're talking about costumes. We're talking about the contact lenses. What are some of the best ways that the public can protect themselves and trying to identify whether or not these are counterfeit items that are put out into the stream of commerce and that there is this potential danger out there as well?
I think that there's several things that they can do. One of the basic things that I think is really simple advice to give to anybody is the same advice that I give to my children and even my wife, which is if the deal appears to be too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. So you have to kind of look at the price of what's being asked for it in the regular market and then what you're looking at paying. If there's a big price discrepancy there, there's a reason for that. And it's usually going to be on the quality control side. Another idea that you can do is, or another way that you can kind of determine what you're buying is look at the website. Is it a reputable website if you're purchasing through the internet? Or if you're purchasing off the streets, are you purchasing from a store? Or are you literally purchasing off the street? I think those are some of the easiest ways to actually determine whether you have something that's counterfeit or not.
So in order to get the context of the severity of this, let's talk about what we've known in the past has actually happened to folks as a result of these counterfeit costumes and counterfeit contact lenses.
One of the things that I know that we can say with confidence is that we There are numerous cases of people contracting eye infections or different problems with their eyes from using the counterfeit contact lenses. Several years ago, there were some instances that we know of people using the face paint that hadn't gone through the same quality control. It was counterfeit marketed items and having reactions to some of the stuff that was in the face paint. And we're assuming it was the heavy metals that were in the face paint.
Yeah, I heard of skin burning and skin peeling off the face and the hands and the arms when they put this solution on their body. And, you know, I think more often than not, when they go back and they look at the tube that it comes in, all of a sudden they realize, oh, my God, this is not what I thought I was buying.
Yes, I would say that that's definitely something to be concerned with. I think the other part of it is, even if you look at the tube, a lot of times there's stuff in there that's just not even listed on the tube, mainly because of the lack of quality control.
And typically, sometimes I've heard that a dead giveaway is the packaging itself looks less than desirable.
Yes, I would say that obviously is something to look at, is the packaging. The problem that we see a lot of times when you're talking about just straight up counterfeiting is that they do kind of invest money in packaging to try to make it look as legitimate as they possibly can, which again is the reason that I say one of the best ways to make a determination as a lay person, in other words, as a shopper, is to look at the price, do a price point comparison. If the price difference is so great that you're going, I've got a great deal, it's probably not a good deal for you.
When we come back, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the people behind these counterfeit products and what they're really up to. And I think that's going to be a real eye-opener for folks that they're going to really want to check when they learn about who's actually behind all of this stuff. When we return, give us a call at 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and we're talking to Jerry Miles, Special Agent in Charge, Homeland Security Investigations, New Orleans Field Office, and we're talking about counterfeit Halloween costumes and counterfeit decorative contact lenses. And we were talking off air about the contact lenses. The legitimate ones are regulated by the FDA. The others are not. So if you're buying here locally in person, if you're not getting it through an eye care professional, it's probably counterfeit. It's a lot more difficult when you buy over the internet.
Absolutely. It's a lot more difficult to determine the origin when you're buying over the internet.
But that's one differential, is that it is regulated by the FDA. Let's talk briefly about the folks behind this counterfeit merchandise. And I want to start it out this way, as kind of putting things in its perspective from my 40 years in law enforcement. I remember when synthetic marijuana hit the stores. There was no QA, QC, quality assurance, quality control. And one of the chemicals that they sprayed on it was literally acetone, which is nail polish remover, if you recall. That's kind of the same thing that's going on here. And when you describe the folks behind this, I think people understand why.
Absolutely. I think if you look at counterfeit merchandise, and let's talk in the broader spectrum of counterfeit merchandise, let's move away from just talking about contact lenses and face paint for Halloween. Let's talk about the broad spectrum of counterfeit merchandise. For criminal organizations, it is a very good low-risk revenue stream, okay? The investment on purchasing these items is very low for them. They turn around, they sell it at a greatly reduced price, which makes it a high-demand item. And to be honest, it is not one of the high priorities for law enforcement. It's something that, you know, we try to always focus resources on. But with all the other crime that goes on out there, the people that are involved in this realize that the sentencing guidelines and stuff like that are much lower for the counterfeit items. So it is a very lucrative and attractive element or part to their criminal strategy. My personal experience, I've seen the Mexican cartels involved in counterfeit merchandise because they see it as a steady income stream, low-risk, steady income stream. A lot of anecdotal information about European organized crime being involved in counterfeit merchandise as well.
Same holds true from China. I mean, I've seen it China, Thailand, and other places where the transnational groups are involved in these counterfeit products.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think if you look at your developing Asian countries, that's where you see a lot of the production of these items at, mainly because the labor costs are so low there. And it's easy for them to start up a company. They don't have the same standards of quality control that you will find here in the United States for those little small fly-by-night companies. And it's very easy for Asian organized crime to get involved in that at the production level.
And one of the things that we fail to recognize, or I mean, I should say the general public doesn't recognize, we see it in law enforcement, is that they utilize this as a revenue source for other illicit activities as well.
Absolutely. If you think about a criminal organization like a business, okay, any business, if it's a multifaceted business, all the income comes in and it supports the business. So if you're a criminal organization and you're a polycriminal organization, in other words, you're dedicated to numerous different criminal activities, it doesn't matter where the money comes from. That money is still going to be there to support all the other criminal activities and the activities that you need to maintain your criminal organization. And what are we talking about? We're talking about bribery. We're talking about murder. We're talking about all the really ugly, seedy side of criminal activity.
So when we think about getting back to the Halloween costume and makeup and eye lenses, the best place for that is going to be your typical retail outlets that are in the business day in, day out, that you know, bring in Halloween goods and the costume shops. That's what they do as specialty items.
Absolutely. I think if there was any advice that we would give to the consumers out there, one, stick with the businesses that you know. We're not here to try to scare people away from the internet. There are a lot of reputable businesses on the internet. They have long history doing business on the internet. Stick with those companies. And if you're adventurous and you want to try to find a better deal, just remember, if the deal is so good that it's hard to believe, then it's probably too good to be true.
You know, I'm home every Halloween, and I enjoy it and giving out the candy and everything. And I can't tell you how many kids that I see that are 10, 11, or 12 years old with the colored contact lens. And now I'm thinking about whether or not they really ever did get them from an eye care professional. And if you think about putting that in your child's eyes and this face makeup on your child, and you're not sure the origin of these materials, they have sensitive skin more so than adults in the first place, and their eyes are a lot more sensitive than adults in the second place. It would make you think twice, you would think, in checking this out.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I was like you, driving through my neighborhood yesterday, and I saw some children with their face all painted up, and I got to thinking about basically what we were going to be talking about today, saying, hey, to myself, hopefully, you know, they're buying this stuff at a reputable place.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the dangers, you know, it can be significant. Let's go to line one, talk to Patrick in Abita Springs. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, I appreciate you taking the call. I had a really good take being in the business of selling watches and jewelry. And what I found out when I did a lot of research on the faux purses and the counterfeit watches and all, I found out that 90% or more of the places that supplied, I don't know if they sold it, but they supplied it, were found out to be part of human trafficking, child trafficking, and other very, very notorious things, which, you know, it's really not that good. So you think you're buying something and you're saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy this purse, which is normally $300, and now it's $20, which sounds too good to be true, as the guest said. But that leads back to a lot of different things, whether it's at home or abroad, and it's really not good.
No, not at all, Patrick. Jerry?
No, I agree. And, you know, you touch upon an aspect of these criminal enterprises that people don't really talk about, and some of it is forced labor, which you talk about the human trafficking. but we also talk about child labor. You know, a lot of these places where its manufacturing is going on, they don't have the same protections in place, or they don't vigorously enforce the same protections against child labor that we do. I mean, they're getting this cheap labor from somewhere, and the best way to do it is either through child labor or through forced labor, through basically modern-day slavery.
And today's transnational groups or gangs that are involved in a lot of this activity, they run a diversified business model. They don't stay in one silo, right?
No, absolutely. That's where we kind of use the term polycriminal, which means that to us that they dedicate themselves to multiple avenues of criminal activity. Usually, if it's a transnational organization, all their activity is going to be transnational in nature. But, you know, they're going to have what they would consider their high-risk criminal activity, and then they have their low-risk criminal activity.
We're talking to Jerry Miles, Special Agent in Charge, Homeland Security Investigations, New Orleans Field Office. We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 260-1870 or text us at 870-870 as we continue this conversation on counterfeit Halloween items. We'll be right back. We're back, and we have the distinct pleasure of talking to Jerry Miles, Special Agent in Charge, Homeland Security Investigations, New Orleans Field Office. And Jerry, let me thank you for coming into the studio and talking about this most appropriate subject at this most appropriate time, because, you know, the things we love most in life, our kids, could be subjected to significant and serious harm by virtue of these counterfeit products. And it's really good on y'all's part to get the word out, to make them pause and think twice about where they're buying these goods for the safety of their children and the adults as well.
Well, thank you for the time to come out here and kind of put the message out.
So let's go to talk line. Jim and Thibodeau, what say you, Jim?
Thanks, Neil. Y'all have been very serious about this, and rightly so. I can tell you, as a former contact user, I don't think parents ought to fiddle with that at all cosmetically, because there's too much danger there, realistically. But number two, I'd like to go to the lighter side with you. This is from the Wall Street Journal, actually. They said that the average cost per child for Halloween is roughly in the neighborhood of $80. That's for whatever costume plus candy and everything else that the parents buy per year. And one frustrated mom who had bought the costume early, that's another timetable problem, said she is going to wear it, and the only way out is either with an attorney or a body bag.
Yeah, I think sometimes we're a little over the top. But, you know, most major cities now are becoming huge Halloween destinations, and a lot more folks dressing up and buying costumes and buying these goods. But, you know, when we think about the contact lenses, it's as if, though, would you buy eye drops for your kids from somebody out on the street?
It's a good question. I wouldn't.
When you put it in that context, it makes you think twice about, you know, the contact lens purchase and what you are willing to risk at that point in time.
Absolutely.
So when we talk about the transnational gangs, we mentioned earlier one of the callers about human trafficking, and obviously a number of them are involved in illicit drugs and things of that nature. What do you see as kind of the trending challenge mostly from an enforcement perspective in dealing with them?
I think the fact that, like any business, they're starting to take advantage of the internet. So, you know, historically, it's been fairly easy for us to kind of trail their proceeds, the money that they make, because a lot of it was made in cash or, you know, in a form that's easy for us to track. Now they're starting to get more and more involved in the internet. Obviously, since we're talking about counterfeit goods, you see a lot of the sale of counterfeit goods on the internet and stuff. So trying to trail that money is becoming more and more difficult. Also, it's becoming more and more difficult because it's difficult to catch those huge shipments of counterfeit goods coming into the United States. You get thousands and thousands of onesies and twosies, you know, coming through parcel post or through the mail system. Those are the biggest challenges, I think, that we see right now.
And I got to imagine if they're selling counterfeit goods, they probably have a proclivity for identity theft. Would that be safe to say?
I think it would be safe to say that if they're selling counterfeit goods, they got a proclivity for all kinds of criminal activity, and I'm not going to rule out identity theft.
You know, and oftentimes we ask ourselves, man, why is this happening to me? Excuse me? Maybe it's your purchasing history and who you're doing business with, and you're not appropriately vetting them and doing your due diligence before you're out there putting all of your information out on the internet, right?
Absolutely. I would say that absolutely is going to be a huge risk, because if you're dealing with an organization that's willing to put your life at risk by selling you substandard things, they're absolutely willing to steal your identity and try to make a dollar off of it.
You know, as we had this conversation about the future of any number of the component parts of Homeland Security, people don't have a clue as to the breadth and depth of what you guys actually do in Homeland Security. Give us a little brief rundown and litany of the list real quick, if you don't mind.
We're considered a trans-border investigative entity. In other words, we look at crime that crosses the U.S. border. So what we generally tell people is those crimes that are pretty much stuck here in the United States, we don't deal with that very often. I'm not saying we can't. It's just not really our focus. It's not really our mission set. In our mission set, we deal with cross-border drug enforcement. We deal with cross-border money laundering enforcement. We deal with child pornography. We deal with child sex tourism. We deal with immigration. We deal with human smuggling, human trafficking, forced labor or labor trafficking. Those are some of the things that we deal with.
And I think it's easy to say after 40 years in law enforcement, y'all deal with the worst of the worst in many of these cases, because this is stuff that is shock the conscience type of stuff when you see these transnational gangs and the activities that they're involved in.
I would say yes. I do believe we deal with the worst of the worst, but I think what makes it worse than what maybe the average citizen understands is that it's on such a large scale, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it can cross any number of borders across the country or otherwise.
Absolutely, and then when you talk about the damage that's done, you're not talking about an organization, a local-run organization that hits 20 or 100 people. You're talking about thousands and thousands of people.
Thousands upon thousands, no doubt. We're talking to Jerry Miles, Special Agent in Charge, Homeland Security Investigations, New Orleans Field Office, talking about counterfeit goods and the breadth and depth of the investigations in which they handle. We'll be right back. We want to hear from you, 260-1870, or text us at 870-870. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and we're talking to Jerry Miles, Special Agent in Charge, Homeland Security Investigations, New Orleans Field Office. Let's go to line one, talk to Phil in New Orleans. What say you, Phil?
Yes, I was first starting off with one question that I did some research on about a year ago, that at one time, prior to 9/11, there was a part of Homeland Security that was the Secret Service and did a lot of work with money laundering and banking and retail operations. But since then, my understanding is it moved over to Homeland Security. So the one question is whether this is the part that Mr. Miles is involved with, and then I had a second comment after that.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Not sure if that's correct.
What I can say is, based upon kind of your question, is that prior to the creation of Homeland Security, there was Secret Service, and then there was the U.S. Customs Service. U.S. Customs Service historically dealt with money laundering and any type of trade that crossed the border, any product that crossed the border. Secret Service did do some financial stuff, and they dealt with counterfeit money. So Secret Service is still, they're part of Homeland Security, but they still deal with counterfeit currency. They deal with phishing scams when it comes to the internet and some credit card fraud activity. Homeland Security deals with mainly your money laundering stuff.
I see. So now it's pretty much under one umbrella. Would you say a lot of that?
It is, if you kind of look at it from the department level, like a secretariat level. cabinet member level. So we all answer to the same secretary, which is the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. However, prior to the merger, Customs and Secret Service both answered to the same secretary anyway. Right. So we didn't really change.
Yet another question, Phil?
Yes, real quick. One area I found that seems to be a problem when you're looking at these groups on both ends of the spectrums on the U.S. side, who are also researching a Brazilian group, had set up over 117 corporations in Louisiana, Florida, and principally in Delaware, with little or no capital at all. And it sort of confirms what you're saying, that it's so far extended into trafficking, child trafficking, which is all over. And I don't know if you've run across that, but there's no screening at the state levels of any of these organizations, some that seem to be capitalized with $25. And then the cash goes to the banks, local banks. It looks like legitimate enterprises.
Let's let Jerry answer that. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I think you're talking about two different things here. I think, one, you're talking about the ability for someone to come into a state and get a license and stand up a business, which is not regulated federally. And you do hit upon a very valid point that people take advantage of that fact, that it's fairly straightforward to do that, stand up in a corporation, and then go and use that corporation, open bank accounts. And I think the second part of what you were driving at was the money laundering side. Then use those to launder money. Now, what I can say is that to combat that, the banks have instituted a lot of different checks and balances to combat that.
All right, we got to get to a break. 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. This is Newell on WWL. On a Blue Runner opinion poll, are you aware Halloween costumes, makeup, and contacts may be counterfeit and could cause you harm? 73% of the people say no. So, I mean, that's telling that this is, I think, an appropriate subject. Jerry Miles, Special Agent in Charge, Homeland Security Investigations, your final thoughts.
Well, one thing is, we don't want to scare people about Halloween. We want people to be informed so that they can make good decisions for their children and for themselves going into the holiday season. And we also want people to understand that we're going to continue to do our part to try to take these items out of the market so they don't have to be concerned.
And they should, make sure that they deal with the retailers that they typically deal with each year, day in and day out. And if the price is too low, it's probably too good to be true, right?
Absolutely.
And that they should consider, that before they put any contacts in their kids' eyes, that this is something that's regulated by the FDA. And if you don't see a stamp of approval of some sort on these contacts, you might want to think twice before sticking them in your kids' eyes or in your eyes, because you never know what the downstream implications are going to be. And your vision is sacred.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
All righty, Jerry Miles, Special Agent in Charge, Homeland Security Investigations, New Orleans Field Office. We thank you so much for joining us in the studio today, and thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to let everybody know about the dangers that loom out there on the eve of Halloween. But having said that, we want everybody to have a great Halloween celebration.
Absolutely, we sure do. Thanks for having us here.
All righty, thank you so much. We're going to be cash contest is about ready to come up in a second. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about short-term rentals and the trials and tribulations throughout the metropolitan area, not just here in the city of New Orleans. It's now time for your chance to win $1,000 in the Entercom National Cash Contest, brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. Need emergency cash? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more. The code word this hour is MERCY, M-E-R-C-Y. That's M-E-R-C-Y to 72881. 72881, text now and you could win $1,000 cash. Listen for the next code word just before the top of the hour. Every hour, now through 6 p.m., $1,000 is up for grab. Win it for your wallet. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan, text and data rates apply. And remember, as always, please don't text and drive. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.